You know, in a relationship, relationships start out with the first words that you speak, and it gives you a favorable or unfavorable impression. But then, when you're coming to the end of a project or something, you need to understand the last words. And so, turn to Malachi chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. And we're going to look at the last word of God to the Israelites before there's 400 years of silence. Malachi is the last prophet to speak about these things. And after this, they're basically on their own for prophets and people coming and talking to them. They've got all they need. They've got the writings of Daniel. They've got the writings of Nehemiah. They've got all those writings there. And they know exactly what's going to happen and how to deal with things. And you know, we have God's word here. And we're supposed to follow it because it's got everything that we need for life and godliness. So tonight we're going to look at verses 4 through 6 of Malachi and finish out the Old Testament. In chapter 4, verses 4 and 6, it says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." Last week we talked about the great day of judgment coming. And this continues in our talk. We really concentrated on verses 1 and 3 last week. But in order to understand verses 4 through 6, you have to go back up to verse 2. And what we need to understand is that for us to follow God, for us to listen to His last words, for us to do what He wants us to do, we have to have a proper perspective. And in verse 2 of Malachi, it says, "But unto you that what? Fear my name, shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." We've seen in previous chapters here that for the faithful ones, the ones that respected God, the ones that's following God, the things that God has against Israel is not going to happen to them. And the same thing happens to us. We follow God, we're not going to have God's judgment. God's judgment was on Christ. And so here we have three things that we need to have when we have a proper perspective. Now the Son of righteousness, you see that Son is capitalized. Christ is light and darkness. This is a reference to Christ Himself. So in order to have a proper perspective, so you get the last word from God and you follow it, is that we need to have respect for Christ. We need to have respect for Christ. In Acts chapter 10, verse 35, it says, "But in every nation that he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is what? Is accepted with him." Just like when we don't have forgiveness in our lives, God's not going to bless us. God's not going to bless us if we have no respect for Him. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom and knowledge and all sorts of things. So the first thing that we need to have for a proper perspective is that we need to have respect for Christ. So you see things God's way. Secondly, it says, "About unto you fear thy name, shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in his wings." This healing word actually can be translated restored. And we see the restoration of Christ here. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, a New Testament verse that applies to the church as much as the Old Testament does, it says, "He gave himself for us that he might" what? "Deliver." This issue for healing has the sense of deliverance in it. Deliver us from our sin sickness. Deliver us from our spiritual apathy. And it says that he might deliver us from this what? present evil world. Folks, that's what God wanted out of Israel. He wanted them to come out and do the right thing. That's what he wants his church to do.
Amen.
There should be a difference between us and the world. It says he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the what? The will of God and our Father. Okay, here's another thing. I don't know what the will of God is for my life. Well, the first one is his will is for you to look like him. Okay? To look like Jesus. Another part of his will is that we stay away from this present evil world. So if you're in the world system and you're doing that and you're thinking your own self, and you're not following God, you're out of God's will. But God wants to restore that. He wants to restore broken relationships. And so the proper perspective to have is the respect for Christ and then restoration of Christ. And here in the last part of Malachi 4:2, it says, "And ye shall what? Go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." In order to have a proper perspective, we need to have the rewards of Christ in view. We need to have the rewards of Christ in view. When Christ was talking to Abraham, he says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham. He's already made his promise that he was going to make of him a great nation. That's chapter 12. And so now we're further down in Abraham's life, and God comes back to him again. And he says this, the Lord came unto Abraham in a what? Vision. If you don't have the proper perspective of God, you won't see him. Okay? Saying what? Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and what? Thy exceeding great reward. See, God wants the best for us. And not only is the reward for fearing him and following him great, it's exceeding great. Whatever you thought it was, whatever you think great was, God's greater than that.
Amen.
So here in verse 2, before we get into the last three verses of Malachi 4, we need to gain a sense of perspective. In order for us to do anything for Christ, we need to have a proper perspective and view. So in verses 4 through 6, and this is the second point, it's just a two-point message tonight. There is a proclamation to follow, and it's in two parts. The proclamation to follow in two parts. In verse 4, it clearly states this. Remember the law. Remember the law. We need to follow God's word. Okay? Why do we need to remember the law? Well, what is Malachi trying to do here? He is trying to encourage the priesthood to do right. And if the priesthood did right, then the nation would do right. So remember the law. Why? To stay pure. See, we won't have a proper perspective unless we stay pure. Psalm 119, verse 11, a very familiar passage. Thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, I've been challenging our youth. They bring their Bibles. And I got my Bible, and I said, then quote me a verse. Okay? You have our Bibles tonight? Quote me a verse. Somebody quote me a verse right now.
Trust the Lord with all thy heart, lean not to thy own understanding.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Absolutely. Quote me another one. Yeah.
Jesus said to Peter, what's that to thee? Follow thou me.
There you go. What about another one? Yeah, Leah. Amen. See, you all have the word hid in your heart. It's something that you can drive back. Think about this. What's going to happen? No more prophets. No more writings. The next 400 years, Israel's going to have to rely on what they know of God to get them through this. You know something? We have to rely on what we know of God to get us through the problems. If you know zero, it's not going to work very well. Okay? So, we need to remember the law here to stay pure. It says, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. Okay? Why do we need to remember the law? To gain wisdom and understanding. Okay? See, verse 4 says, with all the statutes and all the judgment. Why? Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. And once again, Proverbs is before Malachi. This is written by Solomon. And he says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou what? Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. See, the first thing we need to do is we need to receive God's words. In Malachi here, he's just saying, look. He says, remember the words of the law. Remember the law of Moses, my servant. You know why? If you remember, then you'll look for it. You'll listen to it. You'll apply it. I found it interesting as I substituted this week that all that the kids wanted was for me to give them the answer. And I came in and they weren't expecting a substitute that had read the material. And I came in and I started asking questions and going, huh? And I go, what? And I said, well, how? Well, we just searched the book for the answers. And I said, well, then you better hope that the questions are on the test are only those questions, or you're not going to have a clue. See, what we need to do is we need to go beyond that, folks. You know, it's more than what you get on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night. You need to study to show yourself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What? Rightly dividing the word of truth. How can we apply some instruction to our life if we don't follow the instructions? I'm guilty of that when I build something. I wind up with extra pieces all the time. You know, it doesn't work right either. And the same thing happens here. See, we need to remember the law to stay pure. We need to remember the law to gain wisdom and understanding. So the proclamation that Malachi had to the nation was, first of all, remember the law in verse 4. And then in verses 5 and 6, look for Elijah. Look for Elijah. So, who is the person of that day? What is Elijah supposed to do? Well, he's supposed to come before the what? The great and terrible day of the Lord. A great and dreadful day of the Lord. Okay. So, who is Elijah? We'll look a little bit tonight. And we'll go here. There is the Old Testament Elijah, okay? When Christ took Peter, James, and John up to the Mount of Transfiguration and he was glorified, he had his glorified body, and all the disciples were, those three disciples were there, who else appeared? Moses and Elijah. And then Peter and his great theological thing, let's build a tabernacle to Elijah. Let's build a tabernacle to Moses. But, you know, Elijah is real. And he's still around. He was around then because God brought him back. So they could see. And so, Matthew 17, verse 3, it says, and behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, the Greek for Elijah, talking with him. Don't tell me that there's no eternity. Here's living proof. Right there. We don't die and go to the grave or go into soul sleep or anything like that. We just changed. And then we'll be forever with the Lord. Well, You know, just like we should have the spirit of Christ, we should also have the spirit of prophets. Okay? And in the New Testament, John the Baptist is looked at as possibly Elijah. Okay? But really, it's more clear here in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, it says, "And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of" what? Elijah's. Talking about who? John the Baptist. Okay? "To turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make a ready people prepared for the Lord." Why do we need to look for Elijah? Because there's a great and dreadful day coming. God never says, "I have a secret, and you just got to fend for yourself." He will always send a messenger. He will always tell us what's coming. So it gives us a choice. And it's true. What did John the Baptist do? He was preparing the way of the Lord. He was preparing people's hearts for Christ. If you went to Matthew chapter 17, Christ said, but Elias did actually come. And the people didn't listen to him. And then it says later on, and I think about verse 15 or so, it says, then the disciples understood that he was talking about John the Baptist. But I don't believe this is John the Baptist fulfilled Malachi chapter 4. Why? Because it's not the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And so this is really Elijah coming back. And I will give you my opinion now. In the book of Revelation, before the great tribulation, before the great wrath of God comes down, there's two witnesses. There's two witnesses. And they have all this power. They have power to call down plagues and all sorts of other stuff. And then they're killed. And then they raise up again. There's only two guys in the Bible that haven't died yet. One's Enoch. Lord took him. And one's Elijah. I believe that this is Elijah's one of them. Now some people will argue it's Moses and Elijah in the tribulation period. It really doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
You know what? God's going to send a messenger. And what are those two witnesses supposed to do in the tribulation period? Turn the hearts of the people to God. Turn the hearts of people to God. So, you know something? They say, "Behold, I will send you Elijah." What is God telling Israel? Look for him. Look for him this year. Look for him next year. Look for him 400 years in the future. Look for him in John the Baptist. Look for him in Christ. Look for him. Look for him. You know what? We need to look for Christ. Every day. "Behold, I will send you Elijah." That's a promise. And God's going to keep his promise. And I really think he's going to send him Elijah, not John the Baptist. Okay? And I think it's going to be one of those two witnesses in the book of Revelation. So the first thing is we see the person of that day. It's Elijah. The second one is his presence before the day. He is sent before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. You know why? Because God doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anyone to go into judgment. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as what? It is long-suffering to usward." Look at how many years he dealt with the nation of Israel. Look at how many years he deals with us. I'm an old dude. We have some old people in here. And he just keeps on dealing with us over and over and over again. Okay? I'm glad that God's patient. He's got more patience than I do. If I was God, it would be we'd be in the world hurt. He says, "But as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See, why is he going to send Elijah? Someone that the Jews would recognize. Someone that they've heard from before. Someone who had credibility. Folks, those are all things that we need in our lives today. We as Christians need to be recognized as Christians. We need to have credibility as Christians. So people see us and they say, ah, you're following Christ. And the message is, it's coming. The day of judgment is coming, and God gives a way out, which leads us to the third point, is the preaching, his preaching before the day. And we'll close with this. In verse 5, it says, there's a great day of judgment coming. Verse 3 talks about it. Previous chapters talk about it. This issue for this great means to be beyond belief. Same word is used in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. It says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Why? Because some will be looking for Elijah. The second thing is, what was his message? And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Basically, Elijah's message here is the same message that we have today. Turn your hearts back to God. That is exactly a literal translation of this. The word for turn is the exact same thing that's found in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 21. It says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. You know, the world's got this backwards. The church sometimes has it. We want God to turn to us. No, we need to turn to God. Okay? He sets the standard. He gives the direction. He has the truth. We need to turn. It says, turn thou us unto thee, O Lord. That should be our prayer every day.
Yes.
That should have been the repentance of the Israelites in Malachi's day. Turn thou us unto thee, O Lord, and we shall be what? Turn. When you start turning to God, he's going to finish the work. He's going to make sure that you get to where you need to go, because that's his will. That's his will. The only thing is, if you take one step toward what? The Savior, my friend, you'll find his arms open wide. But you'll never turn until you take that first step. You'll never find somebody, or unless you're looking for them. You'll never remember something unless you study it. So his preaching is, the great day, the great and dreadful day of the Lord is coming. Folks, that's the same message we have today. Christ is coming back. There is a tribulation period. And after that, he's going to come back in his second coming, the second advent. And you don't want to go through the tribulation period. Okay? Turn your hearts back. Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is what? At hand. And the last part of this, why should you do this? To avoid utter destruction. The word for curse here says to mean to be utterly destroyed. See, God, when he comes back, he's going to get rid of everything that's sinful. In the new heaven and new earth, it will be sinless. Okay? In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 11, it says, and men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction. Same word. Same word as curse here in verse 6 of Malachi 4. But Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. See, the Jews will return to Jerusalem in the end times. Christ is going to rule from Jerusalem in the end times. All people will come to Jerusalem in the end times. On the outside, it's wasted. It's wasted. So tonight, as God closes out the Old Testament, there's a perspective that we need to have. We need to have respect for Christ. We need to have the restoration of Christ. And we need to have the reward of Christ in view. And then we need to follow what God says. We need to remember His Word to stay pure, to gain wisdom and understanding. And then we need to look for His messenger. In this case, it was Elijah. And listen to the message. It's the same message that we have today. God doesn't want any to perish. Judgment is coming. Are you ready? Here's how you do it. So tonight, let God have the last word in your life. Amen? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask me this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, not to argue with You. But let You say, thus saith the Lord, and we accept it. And that's the last word, and it's over and done with. Lord, I pray that You just have Your will and way in this invitation. If there's someone who does not know You as Savior, Lord, I pray that they would hear Your word, that You sent Your Son to die on the cross for their sins, that You were buried and You rose the third day, and that He offers forgiveness for all those who recognize it and confess their sins to Him, and then ask Christ to save them. Lord, I pray that if there's someone here that they would say a simple prayer and say, Lord, forgive me my sins, come into my life and save me, and I'll make You Lord of my life from this point forward. I know what You did on the cross was for me. But for us, Lord, as Christians, Lord, help us to let You always have the last word in our lives. Help us to live by Your word. Help us to see Your word. Help us to look for it. Help us to follow it. We give You this time of invitation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.